Chapter 3, Non Plus Ultra. As the Empire of Arimaria stood in the midst of its golden age more than 2,000 years later, the four continents of the planet Alpha Vol, the first in the constellation Vulpecula, were divided into several nations. On the largest of these continents, which was completely surrounded by water, existed the empire where fox-wolf hybrids lived. Over the past two millennia, they had developed their own architecture, measured in their own units, had their own calendar, and spoke their own language, which included a script with complex characters. The road to this point was long and bloody. Time and time again there was war between the Arimarans and the surrounding nations over the island nation in the middle of the Great Sea. Under these quarrels, the small nation, which at that time covered not a tenth of the continent, disintegrated into several small states, which later reunited and became a democracy for a short period of time. This was followed by some small positional battles with a race from the continent east of the Republic of Arimaria. It consisted of purebred wolves, who called themselves Samojadani and lived in a kingdom. Enraged by the continuing heavy losses due to war and the accompanying destruction and famine, a large part of the Arimaran population rebelled against democracy and bloodily deposed the government of that time. This gave rise to the new state of Arimaria, which since then has been a dictatorship under the leadership of an autocrat who received his title by his inherent right. The leader of the nation was a direct descendant of Aram and Arya and was always male. He continued to expand his influence through massive gains of land and the subjugation of his own people. Unlike most other states on Alpha Vol, Arimaria did not use a payment system in the traditional sense. They paid what they needed to live with their skills and service to the people as a whole. Advancing one's race, building it up, and protecting it were the most important needs that the Arimarans knew. Research also played an important role, the constant development of new ideas and technologies, as independent as possible from the resources of other people, was the people's aspiration, driven by almost human-like, insatiable curiosity. Thus, in only 2,000 years, the Arimarans had achieved a level of development that was far higher than that of any other species on the planet. Their belief in their origin was important to them, although few knew the truth outside religious books. Arya, the mother wolf, according to the traditions, had given birth to seven pups, the four males Banato, Akano, Inudo and Topu and the three females Lepona, Savinia, and Jezreelijah. Each of their children received a part of the mountainous island continent with numerous lakes and rivers as their domain and ran their own so-called Jagranet. Jezreelijah, as the last born, led the smallest of the seven Jagranates, Bolmer. This was also the capital, which was centrally located on the continent and was considered the location and origin of all knowledge and progress of Arimaria. There was also the cave of Aram and Arya, now surrounded by the leader's palace. The rough division of the empire already existed at the time of the Republic and the area of the individual territories increased as the centuries passed. Only Bolmer did not change in terms of area. The six other Jagranates were later subdivided into three Jukanates because of their huge size, each of which was administered by a so-called Jukan, a commander. Although they had developed far, a large part of the Arimarans lived in very simple circumstances. People had come together to form numerous villages and towns and lived in futuristic-looking buildings that were not very large. If a person had visited Arimaria, he would not have thought it possible that this was an extremely highly developed country. The people loved to live in Spartan conditions, true to their origins, and they still did most of the work such as farming and service themselves, not some machine. The development and application of new ideas and technologies took place almost exclusively in Bolmer, where there were also educational institutions and from where international trade was being conducted. Finally, not all the necessary resources were available on this one island, so it was necessary to develop a means of payment that could be converted into currencies of other countries on Alpha Vol. The Arimaran currency, called Letfari, could only be used in the capital and internationally. All other Jagranates of Arimaria traded exclusively through barter or mutual aid in agricultural and service work. The Letfari had to be introduced at the time because the other nations on the planet refused to trade with the Arimaran people on the familiar basis of barter and gift. Rado Pertoriza was born at the time of the 2016th solar revolution and was now 54 years old. His profession was a teacher at a think tank in the center of Bolmer, and he lived with his wife and four children in a small village called Kechi, northwest of the capital. As he did every morning, he set out for work, where he taught a group of second-year students. Unlike humans, there were no schools here in their sense. Per teaching level there was a building with several rooms, technically very well equipped, in each of which up to 10 students had space and sat around a round table. All students slept and lived on the premises of the institution, unless they were allowed to visit their families, which happened regularly. Rada went to the next fast travel station in Kechi. Visually similar to the human subway, trains here traveled through underground tunnels. The fast trains were very quiet and each was powered by its own small fusion reactor. They did not move on rails, but floated above the tunnel floor by magnetism and were much faster than the human subways. This means of transportation made life much easier for the Aramarans, because individual mobility existed, but nothing as flexible as cars, but no smog either. Once inside the station, Rado sat down on a bench. There was a bustle of people everywhere and the air was stuffy, tasting unpleasant and stale. A big commotion was made around the quite normal everyday life. Many wanted to go to Bolmer. The teacher took his information and communication module, Infocom for short, out of his shoulder bag, because the train had just left under his nose, but he didn't mind. He still had enough time and could at least catch up on the latest news before the daily routine would start again after the vacations. Such an Infocom was already practical, similar to the tablet PCs on Gaja, the Earth of the People. You could call up all kinds of information on the move. Only here, people didn't call it the internet and didn't go surfing via access points. The Infocom obtained all data and media directly from the Palace of the Leader, a huge tower building in the heart of Bolmer. All national and international information converged there and was available to everyone, well sorted and completely uncensored, whenever they needed it. At least, that was the official account from the Ministry of Information. The fox turned on the device by pulling out a small, black roll of sturdy, flexible foil, which was the display. He was then greeted with a good day, Mr. Pertoriza. In Aramaran letters, the weather for the next 8 hours, he spoke to the device, and it answered him graphically that it would be a sunny day. There was no temperature scale as in Celsius or Fahrenheit, only the statement that it would be warm. What use was a degree number if warmth or cold felt subjectively different? News, national, Rado then said tersely, and it opened articles with animated images. One headline immediately caught the fox's eye, first free energy spacecraft tested. Space travel is within reach. Comma the headline read in translation. Oh, the smarties in Bolmer have been at it again, he whispered as a new train pulled in toward the capital. Turn off Infocom, Rado ordered the device, which said goodbye to him in writing, whereupon he rolled up the display again and put it back in his pocket. The teacher looked around as he sat down on a seat. Just as he let out a relieved sigh, a voice rang out, indicating on Aramaran that the train was about to stop in Agavura, the Jukanat capital of Akanaraja. Several large color displays, which otherwise continuously showed current news and the weather forecast, now turned white and displayed a countdown indicating how long the ride would take until the next stop. Do you have to change trains in Agavura, too? Asked a young fox suddenly standing in front of the teacher. Startled, the latter replied, yes. I want to go to Bolmer. Great. I want to go there too, but this is my first train ride alone, the boy said. Okay, then just stick with me. I drive this route every day, Rado smiled and the boy also grinned happily as the train stopped, opened its doors and a voice said Zornis Sais Kapitalia Gavira. After a short walk they arrived where they could change to the next train. There were many foxes on the way and they were all pushing, but Rado already knew that and took it calmly. Confused and completely overwhelmed, the boy looked around as he sat down next to his guide, who asked him his name. I am Joliad, sir, Joliad Kakodaz. Come along, Joliad, we must go down one level, said Rado, and the young fox followed. Joliad. That's interesting. Do you know what your name means? Something about guard or something. The boy answered ignorantly. Rado laughed, not quite, that is very old Aramaran and means, my protector. Kakodaz used to mean spirit being. Every Aramaran name has a meaning. Didn't you know that? No, sir, Joliad admitted. Call me Rado, kid. By the way, that means something like son. I'm surprised you don't know all that. I guess you'll have to pay more attention in social studies and history. The teacher looked at a board hanging from the ceiling, which announced the train to Bolmer via the town of Uncrade. For him, that meant, finally out of this crowd. Sometimes Pertoriza had the feeling that every day more foxes would want to use the train than the day before. He turned back to Joliad and asked, where exactly do you need to go in Bulmer? To classes at the facility in Grav. That's in the Trutzway district, isn't it? Yes, correct. There is only one school in Grav. In it, students of the second course are currently being taught. However, they are all capital city people. Are you sure you have to go there? Asked Rado incredulously. Yes, it says so here in this letter, Joliad said, taking out a crumpled piece of paper from his black shoulder bag, which already looked quite worn. The teacher read off the note cursorily and fragmentarily, due to his talent in the second stage of education. Institution of Free Thinking. Order of the Funding Authority. I've never heard that before. Do you know who your teacher is supposed to be? No, they would tell me there, my parents said. They have a lot to do and work every day in our field in Lotto. That's why they couldn't accompany me today, on my first day. The train pulled in and the two sat down. When the train started moving again, Rado said, Listen, I don't know where you got this bag, but it's completely ruined. You can't sit down like that with the other students. Take mine. I'll get a new one later. Shyly, Joliad gave his bag to the teacher, who immediately exchanged the contents of the two. In the young foxes, however, there was only an apple, a book, a small blackboard, and a piece of chalk so small and worn that it could more aptly have been called a chalk ball. Don't you have an info, Com? Why do I need an info, Com? This question left Rado speechless. How could his parents send him to this school like that? Everyone there had such a device. Who else wrote on a blackboard? Joliad, we will have to completely re-equip you once we arrive. I don't know what you've been told, but a different wind is blowing here. This is not the Green Farm. We still have some spare equipment lying around at the school. Not quite dewy, but sufficient for now until we get the next generation delivered. When the train stopped at Uncrade, one station before Bulmer, a couple of young foxes got on, acting very rowdy. Whatever they must have ingested had an effect, because the three of them seemed to feel quite strong. Rado watched as they went up to various people to harass and insult them. They tried to snatch a cloth bag from an elderly gentleman, but the man resisted vehemently. The teacher instructed Joliad to stay in his seat and slowly walked towards the three boys to help the old man. One of the bullies raised his arm and was about to punch the old man in the face to make him hand over the bag when Rado suddenly grabbed the youth's arm and said, Hey, son of a bitch, find someone in your league. Since when did foxes need to steal? Oh, spoke the ruffian, who seemed to be the leader of the three, and I suppose you're one of our league? Piss off, or we'll give you a run for your money. Then Rado twisted the arm on the opponent's back in one swift movement. The man distorted his face, moaning in pain, and released the cloth bag. He shouted, Go, beat him to a pulp. One of the other two members of the group approached Rado, who didn't move a muscle, stretched out his left hand and grabbed one of the attacker's ears. He turned the ear, whereupon its owner's face twisted, he also screamed and went into a crouch. Well, what now, you son of a bitch? Asked Rado calmly. Stop calling me son of a bitch. Oh, and what if I don't? Suddenly the third bully came running, whereupon the teacher pushed the two immobilized foxes so that they collided and their friend crashed into them. After that, all three went down and Rado looked down at them. Find yourselves vixens? They'll show you the ropes. Don't drink so much. And you, wash up, you son of a bitch. It stinks in here. The train stopped in Bulmer and the three thugs stood up, quickly disappearing from the train in pain as Rado gave his companion a look so that he knew it was time to get off. Some foxes who had observed Perturize's intervention stood up and applauded. But this did not interest the teacher, because he was now in a hurry and soon had to go to class. The old gentleman with the bag bowed several times and thanked his rescuer, who then only nodded quickly, straightened his whiskers and sighed loudly. Wow! That was totally rad, Joliad exclaimed in admiration, the way you kicked their asses, bam, bam. Then Rado turned to him and leaned down slightly, that's not funny, Joliad. Violence is always bad, even if it saves someone, do you understand? These people have already experienced so much of it, suffered so much. Actually, it should be good for once, don't you think? I'm sorry, the boy said ashamedly as they walked on. That's all right. We'll be right there, his guide said tersely, adding, Welcome to Bulmer. The young fox had trouble keeping up with the older man and looked around in amazement. There seemed to be endless, huge skyscrapers, and they all looked as if they were made only of metal and reflective glass. Some had to be several hundred steps tall, because Joliad couldn't see their tops as he looked up. They poked into the cloud cover, which slid between them with its eternal obviousness. "Wow!" said the boy, amazed and completely overwhelmed by this size. Numerous glass surfaces shone shrilly and showed faces of politicians, facts and figures about Aramaria and loud good-looking, sporty females and males. These were advertisements, which Joliad of the village could not know and therefore opened his muzzle in wonder. "Come on, kid. I'll show you around after class. We won't be doing too much at school today. I'm just giving a speech to ring in the new school year. Maybe we'll discuss a little more. We'll take it easy. I'm sure you'll have some time after that. You know you can't go home for a few days? Then you can go visit your parents." "So, my parents don't really expect me. They always work very hard. Now I'm missing as a worker too, and they have to make that up eventually," the boy said sadly. "I see. By the way, your document says that you want me to teach you. I hadn't noticed that at first. So we will see how you can contribute today," said Mr. Pertoriza. The two foxes entered a large, white building that read First Institution of Free Thought of Bulmer translated in Aramaran letters. They walked through a large, long hallway whose floor was covered with thick, stone slabs that reflected the light like polished marble. Here, too, there were illuminated advertisements, which this time were accompanied by speech. There were phrases like "apply here in the sports office now and start a career as a sports teacher," "make yourself strong for people and fatherland," "get involved and make the leader proud," and "work for space travel now and secure a ticket to the stars if you succeed." The young fox did not understand these things, preferring to look enthusiastically after an autonomous, snow-white android carrying a stack of file folders in its arms and greeting us in a tinny voice, "Good morning, sirs." As it rolled along, "Good morning, 18, Rado answered, walking toward a door at the end of the corridor. His shoes, very neat and shiny, clacked on the cold floor. Then Joliad noticed the number 18 on the back of the machine and asked, "Is that a real robot?" "Sure thing, Joliad. They're doing the cleanup here," the elder grinned, then said seriously, "So, here we are. The other students are already here, as you can easily hear." Noise and lots of laughter came through the door, on the side of which a sensor provided entry by opening sideways as the teacher brushed past it with his hand. He and Joliad entered the room, whereupon everyone else sat down in haste, became silent, and looked at Rado. Mr. Pertoriza assigned an empty chair to the boy and sat down at the front of the oval table, which was very large and looked heavy. He loudly slammed Joliad's former bag on the table and the students flinched, lowering their heads. There were five female and as many male Aramarans here besides him, Joliad noted. "Well, your discipline seems to have suffered a bit during the vacations, I see," Rado began sternly, and Joliad also lowered his head now, almost involuntarily. "I wonder why. But that will soon change. You know that discipline is the most important thing if you want to make it big." "Yes, sir," the crowd murmured in unison as one of the students surreptitiously moved his eyes to watch Joliad. Then the teacher turned to him specifically and ruled, "This applies to you in particular, Adamok." The latter quickly lowered his eyes again and the teacher continued, "So, I would like to welcome you today to the second phase of education. As the attentive among you have noticed, we have a new companion. Joliad, stand up," he said without looking at anyone. Joliad stood up and then tried to stand bolt upright and absolutely still. He felt like he was in the army at that moment and, intimidated as he was now, just tried to do everything right. This was not how he remembered the nice Mr. Pertoriza, but he quickly shouted, "Yes, sir. At your command, sir," to which all the other foxes laughed softly. "Silence!" shouted Rado, hitting the thick tabletop with the flat of his hand, whereupon the laughter quickly died down. Joliad had a lump in his throat when the teacher suddenly smiled and spoke to him calmly, "Forgive me, but I'm dealing with a rather difficult bunch here. A whole year gone by and apparently not much has been learned." The boy slowly turned his head to Rado and looked at him, overwhelmed and questioning. He didn't understand anything now. How should he behave now? This is not the army, but thank you for your respect. I appreciate it very much, said Mr. Pertoriza, looking once again very seriously into the group. Introduce yourself to us. Who are you, how old, where are you from, what do you do, what brings you here, what do you want to accomplish? The boy stammered, my name is Joliad Kakodaz. I'm 16. And before he could continue speaking, he was interrupted by an interjection from a fellow student, what? 16? He's almost a kid then. Shut up, Jerome, you jerk. You're only 20, Rado shouted. Rado, Kakodaz thought, did not look as stern as he pretended to be. But after all, there had to be a good reason for him to act that way. He turned back to Joliad and ordered curtly, go on. I come from Lotto and I help my parents there on our farm. I came here because I got a letter from the office of a Mr. Carteron and the funding agency saying that I should report here. What do I want to achieve? I hope to do some good. Sit down, thank you. Joliad did so with relief, noticing that two of the female students were whispering, looking at him and giggling every now and then. Quiet, you clucks. Where is your respect? Shouted Rado. The giggling died down and the teacher explained, well, Joliad Kakodaz, for your information, we are here in a kind of think tank. This is where the capable and worthy Aramarans are trained in the last resort to make something of themselves. What comes out of it depends on them alone. I, as the instructor, only nurture some trains of thought for them. Solutions have to be worked out by themselves. I demand obedience and discipline. But what is even more important is mutual consideration and respect. We are one race, one species. Therefore, we all treat each other as equals. At least, that's how it should be. Let Ania, stand up. A girl, who was certainly already not young and could be called a woman, stood up. Tell him who the gentleman called Carteron is, the teacher ordered. Carteron is regent and supreme leader of Aramaria. She exclaimed and quickly sat down again. So, said Rado, now you know who Carteron is. He is the big boss, the chief here. And he has apparently decreed that you should be taken from your field, just like that, to participate in the second, instead of the first year. I'm a little amazed. So, you must have performed very well in the first year training school in Lotto. That means for everyone here that they will treat you equally. After all, there is a reason that the Grand Chief himself is convinced that you have more in you. Joliad couldn't explain why, but somehow these words sounded as if Rado didn't like this Carteron very much. Kakodaz had never met him. So how would he know how good the boy was in school? My students here are all around 18 to 20. That means they are adults, some of them have puppies of their own. You, Joliad, may be the youngest here, but I see no reason why you should address any of them as sir or madam. You agree with me, don't you? Asked Pertoriza to the group, which was followed by silent nods from everyone. We address each other by our first names here. So I, too, would like to be addressed by my first name. Of course, this only applies to all those who treat me with respect. That's how I handle it the other way around, too. The human idea of addressing someone by his last name does not belong here, just as little as all other human ideas, except for their language Latin. The people of Gaja may think it's dead, but I don't. A pause arose, during which Rado took his infocom out of his pocket, and the students all did the same. Yeremia, give Joliad your infocom. He doesn't have one yet, he said. Suddenly laughter spread again and snide remarks like, oh, here come the porno pictures. And didn't you hide your hot guys there? Spread. Reluctantly, Yeremia handed Joliad the device as Rado quickly took it from him and turned it on. I see, he said suddenly, now I understand what you mean. Not that I didn't expect you to. He grinned and handed the infocom back to Yeremia as he cleared his throat and added, these guys chucks all look like you're going to want to keep your mouth pretty full when you're excavating though. Then great laughter erupted and the instructor joined in the laughter as well. Even Yeremia, who actually had every reason to be ashamed, laughed heartily and teasingly stuck her tongue out at Rado. Giggling, she said, oh, you're jealous again, hee hee. All of a sudden, the atmosphere seemed very relaxed and at ease. Joliad did not understand that. Just a moment ago, everything seemed so uptight, oppressive. Now everything was completely different. When Rado noticed that he was not laughing as well, he said to him, "Don't worry. It's perfectly normal here. We have a family-like, respectful climate here. As long as everyone behaves, anything goes. I am not interested in your sexuality. It doesn't interest the leader. It doesn't interest these people or this country. If you need it to feel freer, do it when there is time. That goes for you too, Joliad." The 16-year-old looked at Yuremia and asked her, "But, aren't you embarrassed?" "Kid, you can tell you're from the village," she replied, which again led to laughter. "Well said, Yuremia. Then you should become his mentor." "Great idea!" exclaimed Mr. Pertoriza. The student rolled her eyes and reluctantly said, "Yeah, fine by me." "Good," Rado praised, "then we've got that settled, too." He sat back and sighed, "Now, my dears, I want you to talk to Joliad during the break. Introduce yourselves to him and show him around here. Yuremia, you, as his guide, give him everything he needs to sleep, and go find him a room, will you?" "Yes, I will," the vixen confirmed, annoyed. "Today we'll take it easy. After the break, I'll give my speech, which you've been eagerly awaiting. I'm sure it will be great fun for you, just like last year." Large groans spread out. "Why, though?" The students left the room and Yuremia stopped with Joliad at Rado. "What is it?" he asked. "Do we even have a room left for him?" the student wanted to know. "I thought they were all occupied." "Yes, we have another one," Rado explained. "Next to yours, after all, is the cleaning room. Tell the cleaning robots we need the space. Tell them to find another place to put their clothes." Then he turned to Joliad and said, "It's not big, but it will do. We're overcrowded by exactly one person now, because we usually have a maximum of 100 students here." "I understand," Kakodaz nodded. "Okay, I'll go take care of it. Come, Joliad, first I'll take you to the yard with the others." Now the young foxes left the room, while Mr. Pertoriza looked after them, sure that the newcomer would certainly be well welcomed. After the break ended, Rado's students gathered back in their class and sat down. When their teacher entered the room, they stood up and he instructed them to take their seats again. He too sat down and began his lecture. "So, this is our second semester together and I'm sure you're wondering what will be on the program this year. I can tell you this, having reflected on our history in the last section, this time we're talking about the decline and fall of our race in the not-too-distant future. This is the most important topic of all." Dumbfounded looks and open fox snouts followed, because obviously the teacher had to be crazy. "Our race, that is, our species, is over 2,000 years old. So, since the birth of our Mother Area's first offspring, we have evolved into the society we are today. We have had a long time of war, prosperity, peace and growth, and there are still some good years to come. But, every good time comes to an end. Growth ends. With almost a billion on this continent, we are running out of the space we need to develop, you should realize that. Not only that, genetically, we are all fundamentally related to each other. So far, only through our research has it been possible to prevent genetic decay, but our scientists will soon be at their wits' end, resistances are developing and no one knows when the Big Bang will occur. So this year, I will discuss with you what our future will look like if everything continues as it is. And we will find out what our future can look like if our society reorients itself. Certainly we Aramarans have come a long way, are far superior to most of our comrades on this planet in many ways. But that doesn't mean we'll last forever. This idea, to reflect on it, comes from our smart leadership, from the very top. You are part of the smartest minds of our nation, otherwise you would not be sitting here. So this is an urgent request from our entire nation to you and your peers, develop ideas, be creative, and save our world. Now he paused before shouting loudly, "Tempus fugit," which came from Latin and meant something like time is running out. We may not pass away in 50 or 100 years, but we must start early enough before the signs of our decline become unmistakable, or perhaps it will be too late. You will realize that this is not meant to be a joke when I tell you that you will present yourselves to the supreme leaders of our people way before the end of your training, and not only at the end, as is usually the case. So before that, we will develop many theories about our continued existence and, if possible, materialize those theories. Among other things, we are building technologies for space travel now that we as a race have already designed propulsion. I hope you are not too frightened. I wasn't too scared either when I got this curriculum. There are a lot of things that we, the people, don't know yet, but which Carteron and the other leaders have long since realized. Let's work together and help it turn out well for all of us. Even if the deadline for this might still be far in the future. A thoughtful silence spread. No one stood up and applauded, as is usually the case after a speech. Mr. Pertorize sighed and scratched his left ear. He leaned back again and after a moment's thought asked a student, Nehemiah. What do you think? What would our society have to change so that we don't eventually die out? Startled, the vixen looked up and stammered, Well, I don't really know. I don't know what to say about that now. You see, Rado exclaimed, I taught you all sorts of things at some point, and you could go out into the world and stand on your own paws. Some of you would stay here in Bulmer and pursue some great profession, content to move society in what you thought was the right direction. But that is not all you need to live. You don't know what it can mean when everything ends. Ends? Yes, the old man says so. Tempus fugit. Think. You are foxes, smarties, Aramarans. So show how I taught you to analyze and diagnose. One male stood up and shouted, more power to genetic research. Okay, that's an idea. But stupidly, as I said, the research is already coming to an end. What else? To mix with other races. There are almost only us foxes here, shouted Eurimia. Yes, sure. With the Samoydans. Quite a great idea, another student waved off and the troop laughed. Wait, Rado interrupted the laughter. Why not? Is she wrong, then? I mean, all the foxes of this planet live together on this continent. As a canid breed, wolves are excellent for providing new genetic material, aren't they? Well, because we're at odds with them, Rado, and always have been, Automok pointed out, and the other four males chatted among themselves about what they would do to those sons of bitches if they ever met one of them. Yes, you're probably right. But we both have, after all, a common origin, namely the dawn of time. Most Aramarans are hybrids of fox and wolf, the Samoydans are pure wolves. As I said, new genetic material, the teacher mused. I heard they have a lot of muscles and look hot as hell, hee hee. Laughed one of the vixens. Ezrin, you horny bitch. Shouted Jerome. Again, there was laughter, which Rado interrupted by saying, You see, because they live here in the absolute minority with us, very few of you have ever seen even one of them, but you are immediately aware of everything. You would not dare to go on Samoydan soil, but you think you know that they are the aggressors. Therefore you would like to beat them to death. And if one of them stood before you, you would see his huge muscles and run away in fear. Oh, they're savages. Shouted a student who hadn't said anything else. What do you think, Joliad? Asked Mr. Pertoriza, ignoring the previous remark. Bring yourself in a little. Yes, well. I know a Samoydan from Seligico and he is quite nice. From Seligico? That belongs to the Jukanat Chutpri, in the very east, doesn't it? Asked Rado and Kakodaz answered in the affirmative. Yes, Chutpri, because these stupid assholes just came here to be on the back of our society and do nothing for it. Those bastards. Screw nice wolves, Automok yelled at Joliad. Mr. Pertoriza intervened, Hey, Automok, shut your mouth if you don't have anything clever to say. I'll tell you how it really is, the Samoydans call us bastards, which they are kind of right about. Despite numerous wars in the past centuries, our leadership had allowed some of them to stay in Aramaria. Peace ensued, but unfortunately, they quickly changed their minds again, for whatever reason, and confined the Samoydans to reservations, with no possibility of ever returning home across the Great Sea. It was feared that they might organize some kind of smuggling, use their knowledge of this land to start a new war, or something. In addition, the original intention was to prevent too large a proportion of wolves in our genes. A decision that may cost us our existence in the future. After all these years, the Samoydans now want to have the entire Banatarija Jagranit for themselves, which is why they keep inciting riots. That is the reason for this conflict, they are not allowed to go home, and even if they were allowed, they would not want to, because they are now at home here. Therefore, the mixing of our peoples is ruled out? Asked Joliad with interest. Yes, that's how it is, for now. The authorities will eventually realize that their actions are pointless and completely excessive. But so much for our perfect world and the nonplusultra one, we always like to think we are. Joliad did not really understand why Rado spoke so nastily about the leaders. He was very averse to them for some reason. But the young fox now realized where the hatred for the Samoydans came from and why his parents had suddenly forbidden him to go back to Seligico to meet his friend. The wolves were only tolerated there, not wanted. So, if this option is eliminated. The next suggestion. What should we do? The teacher wanted to know from everyone and then pointed to a completely uninvolved vixen. The latter just shrugged her shoulders. What about looking for a new planet? Maybe there are other races out there like ours, Letania said. Then Mr. Pertoriza quickly turned to her and exclaimed, Now that's an idea. Yeah, we're about to have the dark energy drive and all. Let's get out of here. Another fox shouted. What do you say, Joliad? Wanted Rado to know. Well, we'll have to explore for a while, I think, but it would certainly be possible to find an inhabited planet where there are other anthros. I still think a lot of the Samoydans. They have always been good to me, Kakoda said, not noticing how Eurimia looked at him, how he felt, even about the Samoydans, pleased her. He was innocent, inexperienced and neutral. He's got something, she thought to herself, startled when her teacher suddenly shouted, Yeah, he's got something. At first the vixen thought Rado could read minds, but calmed down again. A lively discussion followed, to which finally most of them had something reasonable to contribute. Research interested them, and besides, the idea was that the Aramaran people would be able to save themselves on their own, which would have been in the leader's mind anyway. Well, Gaja, the human world, of course, we can forget. In earlier times, various nations spied on them by sending satellites. We listened to their radio signals, which were desperate attempts to contact anyone in space. For one thing, they have no anthros on their planet, and for another, they are still very primitive. So deal with the idea of leaving home. What would it take? How long would we have to research? Where would life be possible in space? Where would there be other species with which we could interbreed? What would life look like there? Things like that. Tomorrow I want to hear more of your thoughts. Also, remember that there is a lot of information in Infocom, also about planets and space, Pertoriza said. Well, the teacher mused further, I think now that there have been initial tests, we'll probably go into space no matter what. It would just be nicer if we had a destination in mind, you know? Kakodaz nodded and when the end of today's class was rung by the school bell, everyone left to go to their rooms or outside. Rado still called after them, Per aspera ad astra shall be title of this theme.